And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture, one from which many messages have been preached. We have heard this text many, many times, but I want us to focus on it one more time. Amen. To hear what thus saith the Spirit unto the church. Would you pray? Pastor Grissom, would you lead us to the Lord? Amen, and God bless you. You may be seated. There's something powerful about the word of the Lord. There was a time that Jesus and his disciples were leaving the city of Bethany and returning back to Jerusalem. The previous day that they had passed by a fig tree, and the Bible says that there were leaves upon the fig tree, and Jesus saw it afar off, and he desired the fruit that seemed to be advertised by the fact that the fig tree had put forth leaves. There are two different varieties of figs that grow in the Holy Land. One is an early fig that puts forth early in the season, and then there is the late fig that puts forth figs at a later time. So there are two different seasons of figs. But fig trees generally put on fruit either prior to the leaf's coming forth, or at the same time that the leaves come forth on the trees, that they usually have fruit. Now, it takes some time before the fruit ripens, and so the Bible says it was not yet the time of figs, that it was not time for the figs to be well ripened. But the very fact that he saw leaves upon the tree said that there was fruit upon that tree. Because the two varieties of fig trees, either they put forth figs prior to their leaves, or at the same time that the leaves put forth. And so I don't know which variety of figs that this was, but whether it was the early variety or the late variety, there should have been fruit upon that tree. And when Jesus searched the branches of that fig tree for fruit, to perhaps to find a fig that had ripened early, because it was not yet the time of figs, that it was not a time when the fig trees were fully developed. But there should have been at least a few figs upon that fig tree. That he found nothing upon that tree. Nothing but leaves. Nothing but what appeared to be a prospect of fruit, but no fruit. And the Bible says that Jesus cursed that fig tree and said, "May no man ever eat figs of this tree again." And they went on their way. Well, this next day that they were coming from Bethany, going back to Jerusalem, they passed by that same fig tree. And the disciples marveled in that that fig tree had withered and died from the roots up. That it had died by the power of the word of Jesus Christ. I want you to know there is authority and power in the word of God. Amen. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Contrary to what some would teach us. Now Jesus said that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Be removed and cast into the sea," and it shall be done. And I believe that. But I believe that if you speak that, you better speak that upon the authority of the Jesus Christ and His Word. Amen. Either from the Word of God that we have been given, or you better have heard from God by the Holy Ghost. Amen. To make such a proclamation. Because I don't believe that God has given mankind a license to blab it and grab it. Amen. We cannot name it and claim it. You may ask for a Cadillac, but that doesn't mean you're going to get a Cadillac. You may ask for a 10-story mansion, but that doesn't mean that God is going to honor your request. Because God only honors those who ask Him according to faith. And true faith is predicated upon the authority of God's Word. If God, amen, told you to say it, then say it. If God said to do it, then do it. If God commanded it in His Word, then we can stand upon the authority of God's Word. But we cannot make, amen, God conform to our will. We cannot demand of God to do something that's contrary to God's Word. That faith is not the same thing as positive thinking. The humanist will tell you that whatever you can conceive in your mind that you can do. But my Bible tells me that some things that are impossible unto man are possible with God. Amen. I don't care how much you think you can't do it unless God, amen, gives you authority to do it. Unless God permits you, amen, the power to perform it, amen, you'll never do it in your own strength. There was a man a number of years ago in San Antonio, Texas, that was convinced in his mind that he could fly. And so he took the elevator to the top of the Hemisphere Tower. How many of you have ever been to the Hemisphere? in San Antonio, Texas. 680 feet tall. One of the tallest buildings in the world. 680, at least it was in 1968 when it was built. But it is a very tall monument to human engineering. This man was convinced in his mind that he could fly, and so he goes to the top of the Hemisphere Tower, and he jumps from the top of that building, and he begins to flap his arms and say, "I can fly, I can fly, I can fly." But about halfway down, he was converted into thinking that maybe he couldn't fly. And it wasn't long till he was thoroughly convinced that he was wrong. I want you to know, just because you think it or just because you say it doesn't make it so. But if God said it, if God commanded it to be, if God tells you to go through it, you can go through it. If God says to raise up your staff, amen, then raise up your staff, because God will not allow you, amen, to fall upon your face if God ordained it. If it's the will of God, God will perform it if you'll believe it. Amen. But it's all about the authority and the power of His Word, not my Word. And so blab it and grab it is not the Word of God. Name it and claim it. It's not taught in the Scripture. Amen. Jesus wasn't saying, if you want a new wife, just ask God and He'll give it to you. That's not in accordance with the Word of God. There are some limitations to what man can do. But I want you to know, there's no limit to what my God can do. Amen. He just speaks it and it comes into being. He spake the worlds into existence. Even the vows of the worlds were framed by the Word of God. There's nothing that's more powerful than the Word of God. That's the reason why our faith needs to be bound up in the Word of God. We need the Word of God in our heart, in our mind. Amen. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We don't have an excuse for the Grissom. Many times as we've heard the Word of God preached, amen, over 7,000 times, or amen, between 7,000 and 9,000 times, we're without excuse. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I believe God wants to do something great, amen, in these last days. And God's going to do it through the power of the Word. Amen. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. If we do anything, it will be by the authority of the Word of God. Can you say praise the Lord? The activities of men are seldom rewarded to the degree that men seek after. As men, we are subject to the restrictions and the limitations of natural law. And our success or our failure is not wholly bound up in our abilities or our human effort. For we are subject to the power of a divine Creator. Amen. Jesus Christ said, "I have all power in heaven and in earth." Amen. We can't even walk unless we're holding His hand. Amen. We can't do anything by our own power. But Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me," through the power of God and the power of the Word of God. Amen. We can suspend the restrictions of natural law and move into the realm of the supernatural. You'll never enter into the realm of God if you're content to remain in the realm of human understanding. But you've got to go beyond what you can understand. You've got to go beyond what you can feel with the five senses. And you've got to stand upon the authority of the Word of God. It doesn't matter if you feel like, amen, worshiping or not. Worship God. It doesn't matter if you feel like praising the Lord. Praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. We've got to move beyond the realm of the flesh, amen, into the realm of the supernatural. Praise God. Amen. Only by trusting in the Word of God and His omnipotent power can we overcome the limitations that hedge us in from accomplishing the miracle of the supernatural. It didn't make sense, amen, to carry pitchers, empty pitchers, and lamps. It didn't make sense just to carry a trumpet into battle against the enemy. And natural reasoning would say that those men were walking into a death trap. They were committing suicide. Oh, but God had a different idea. He said, if you'll just do what I say, amen, I will give you victory. 32,000, amen, wouldn't be enough, amen, if you were depending on human effort. Amen. It wasn't the numbers that really mattered to God, because God, amen, told Gideon, you've got too many men. And so he said, I want you to send everybody home, amen, that's fearful, amen, that would doubt the power of God. Amen. Sometimes there's power in elimination. We need to eliminate every voice, everything that would doubt, everything that would come against the rule of faith. Amen. To put forth those that would stumble at the promises of God. He said, Gideon, you've got too many. 32,000 and the enemy. My, they've got us outnumbered so bad. I don't remember how many they had, but they had a considerably more than Gideon had. Amen. 22,000 left. Didn't have much of an army, did he? Had 10,000 left. Gideon said, well, at least I've got 10,000. Amen. Maybe God could use an army of 10,000 to go out and fight the enemy. And God said, Gideon, you still got too many. So go down to the brook, and I want you to have every man to get down and drink, and every man that gets down on his hands and knees and picks up the water and laps it like a dog. He said, I want you to set them apart. Those are the ones I've chosen. There wasn't too many dog lappers in the group. Amen, but there was 300. And God said, those are the ones that I can use. 300. He said, those are the ones that you're going to go out against this great multitude. And I'm going to give the victory in your hand. I don't want you to take swords or spears. I want you to take pitchers and lamps and trumpets. Amen. I want you to surround the camp of the enemy. Amen. And when I give the signal, I want you to, amen, to break the pitchers and let the lamp shine and shout out the God of Gideon, the God of Israel. And they broke their lamps. Amen. They broke their pitchers and their lamps began to shine. And they sounded the trumpet, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And the enemy began to flee. And God gave them a great victory. Why? Because there's power in the Word of God. Amen. You cannot limit, amen, God by human reasoning. Amen. When you limit God, amen, into fighting war the way we would fight a war, that we're limiting God. We, amen, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Amen. We need to let God, amen, fight our battles. We need to let God, amen, lead our armies. We need to let God be the voice. He is the commander-in-chief of the army of the Lord. We need to attune our ear to the commander and march according to the drumbeat of heaven, because we're marching to a different drumbeat. Our ears are tuned in to that heavenly sound, because we are trusting in the name of the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. If we want to see the miracle of the supernatural, we've got to believe in the power of the Word of God. Amen. When Jesus cast out devils, He did it by the power of the Word. Amen. He addressed the demons, amen, by the word of His power. And the demons were subject to Him. Why? Because He's the Word of God. Oh, amen. There's power in the Word of God. Oh, thank God. It's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We need to trust in God. We need to trust in His Word. We need to trust in the power of the Spirit, because God, amen, can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord. The power and the authority of the Word of God. And then that brings us back to our text in Luke chapter 5. The Bible says that it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him, they were pressing upon Him, not so they could hear the band play. Amen. They were pressing upon Him, not so, amen, they could see the drama team in action. I'm afraid, amen, there's nothing wrong with drama teams. There's nothing wrong, amen, with musical instruments and singing, amen. But I want you to tell you tonight that the power is not in the choir. The power is not, amen, in the ensemble. The power is not in the drama. But the power is in the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's not the theatrics of the preacher, but it's the power of Jesus' name. Amen. That makes the difference. Come on now. Praise God. Amen. You could glue my feet behind this pulpit. Amen. Where I couldn't get out and I couldn't make any motions. Amen. Yeah, I'd feel limited, all right, because it's hard to preach when I'm not moving. Amen. I kind of like the idea when the Holy Ghost moving, I like to move with it. Amen. But I want you to know, it's not, amen, in the style of the preaching. It's not in the words that we say, but it's in the power of the Word of God, amen, that we're going to see revival. It's the faith that we have of the authority of Jesus' name. They pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God. Oh, would to God that there was a hunger and a desire for the Word of God. Amen. In this hour that we live in. Maybe it's because we've heard 7,000 or 8,000 or 9,000 messages. Amen. That we have become adjusted to sitting in an apostolic service and feeling a move of the Lord, where it no longer is new to us anymore. It no longer makes us tingle all over like it did in the beginning. Oh, God forbid it would become something that's common, something that we take for granted. We need a hunger for the Word of God. We need to hear the voice of the Spirit when He speaks to us. Amen. I thank God that we had a move of the Holy Ghost tonight in tongues and interpretation, because the gifts of the Spirit are supposed to be operating in the body of Christ. And I believe that this is the body of Christ. Amen. God has not left us. He has not forsaken us. He's the same Jesus that He was in the New Testament church. Hallelujah. Amen. But they pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. They were hungry to hear the Word of God. They desired the Word of God down in their heart. And so Jesus stood there by the Lake Gennesaret and He preached the Word of God. And the Bible says in verse 2 that He saw two unoccupied ships, two empty vessels, that were not far from shore. And the fishermen had left those vessels, and they were now washing their nets. And so Jesus decides to borrow a ship. It wasn't His ship. Even the Bible says it belonged to Simon Peter. And Jesus asked permission. of Simon if he could enter into the ship and thrust out just a little ways from the land, amen, so that he could continue teaching the people, because the press was so great around him that was difficult to even teach them and instruct them in the things of the kingdom of God. They were so hungry for the word of God, he had to petition a man to borrow a boat that did not even belong to him. And so from a borrowed pulpit, he began to instruct them concerning the kingdom of God. And the Bible says that when he had left speaking to them, then he asked Peter, he said, "Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep." Amen. When we make preparation, when we are learning about the things of God, amen, that it's okay to remain near the shore. But when you become, amen, you really want to get involved, amen, in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've got to be willing, amen, to launch out into the deep. You've got to remove, amen, the things that are familiar. You know, it's very difficult sometimes for us to leave the safety and the familiarity of our surroundings. Amen. To move into territory that's unfamiliar. Well, one of the things that we fear the most is the fear of the what? Of the unknown. I want you to know that we know most of the time, amen, the things that we are most familiar with. We know those things. We pretty much know when we come to an apostolic church, amen, the basic, amen, repertoire of things that we're going to do. We know that there's going to be some singing and some clapping and some worship. We know there's going to be some announcements. We know that there's going to be some prayer requests. We kind of know the routine. And sometimes I think we get to, amen, to where we pretty much know when we're supposed to clap and when we're supposed to hallelujah and amen. Amen, because we have become acclimated to the Pentecostal style of worship. We are in a familiar arena, amen, where we sometimes get a little bit too comfortable. Hello? We pretty much know what's going to transpire. We don't know everything in every minute detail because, amen, we have some unusual services around here. Amen, we'd never know what the Holy Ghost is going to do. Amen, we never know what miracle God, amen, will perform. We don't know everything, but we do have a certain degree of familiarity with that that we have become accustomed to. But if you're going to see the kind of miracles, amen, most of the miracles, most of the great revivals, amen, that transpired in the New Testament were not in the safety of the familiar, but it was launching into virgin territory. Paul went where no man had gone before, amen, and he proclaimed Jesus Christ and him crucified, amen. He went where few dared to go, and God went with them, amen, confirming the word with signs and wonders. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. If you really want to be a fisherman, amen, you need to go where the fish are. Amen. There's not many here tonight in this auditorium that haven't already heard. Amen. I don't know if there's anyone in this auditorium tonight that hasn't already heard the gospel of Jesus Christ at least one time. Many of you have heard the gospel hundreds and thousands. There are not many sinners that are here tonight that have not yet experienced conversion. and the new birth experience. You know, if I want to catch fish, amen, I'm not going to go to an aquarium. Hello? Praise God. Amen. I'm not gonna fish. Amen. They've already been caught. Praise God. But Jesus said, I want you to launch out into the deep. Amen. I want you to be challenged. Amen. Beyond what is familiar to you. Amen. Launch out into the deep for a draught of fishes. Now, draught is an old English word that means a haul. Like H-A-U-L. We're going to have a haul or a multitude of fish. But you got to be willing, amen, to push away from the shore. Amen. You got to be willing to, amen, to go into areas that are not so familiar. Amen. In the prisons. Hallelujah. In the prisons and the jails. Amen. To go out into the highways and the byways. Amen. Into the shopping centers and to the homes and into the neighborhoods and proclaim Jesus Christ. Amen. Because I don't want you to be satisfied. Amen. With just a little nibble now and then. Amen. Or maybe just one or two on a stringer. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm talking about a multitude. I'm talking about a great harvest of hungry souls. But you got to launch out into the deep. Amen. Simon said, Master, we've toiled all night. Lord, we've been at this 35 years. Amen. Lord, we've been doing this a long time. That's what he was really saying. Amen. That wasn't Peter's first rodeo. And in fact, he was a fisherman by trade. He grew up on the Sea of Galilee. He knew every spot on that little pond, which is not very big. Amen. Cedar Creek would probably swallow it up. It's not a very big pond, but he knew every crook, every cranny. He knew every place. And he said, Lord, we have toiled all night. And we haven't caught anything. But nevertheless, I want you to know that one of the keys, amen, to you to having faith is to overcome the disappointment of your failures. If you're not careful, you'll become conditioned by the disappointments of your past. That you will challenge, amen, the success. That you will jeopardize the success of your future. He said, Lord, we fished all night and we have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word. Amen. It's not because, amen, my fishing guide tells me that it's a good night to fish. It's not because the winds, amen, are blowing from the right direction that tells me it's a good time to fish. It's not because I see a lot of boats out on the lake and they're snagging them left and right. It's not that. You know, sometimes we are limited to what we feel and what we see. Amen. It ain't about a feeling. It isn't about what you can see around you. That's not what limits God. Amen. God can do exceeding and abundantly above all that you're able to ask or even think. It's by the Word of God. He said, if you can believe it, amen, you can have it. Amen. If you want revival, amen, I promised it, and you can be a part of it. Hallelujah. Revival is not something, amen, that may happen. It's something that's going to happen. That God is going to rock this world. Amen. This world is going to see a move of the Holy Ghost like they've never seen before. And if we want to be a part of it, we've got to leave. leave the surroundings of the familiar. We've got to leave the pleasantries of the shore, and we've got to launch out into the deep, into new territory. Amen. Try something that we've never tried before. Do things that we've never done before. Amen. Follow in the footsteps of the apostles. Amen. And dare to stand upon the Word of God. Hallelujah. Before Peter and John, amen, raised a lame man at the gate beautiful, amen, it had never happened before by one of the apostles. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want you to know there's always a first time. Amen. You can be a part in a miracle. It doesn't matter, amen, what your resume has on it. It doesn't matter how many times you've failed in the past. Today is the day of salvation. Today is a day of miracles. Today is a day of deliverance, because the Spirit is moving all over the world. The Spirit is moving again. Can you say praise the Lord? Master, we've toiled all night and we've taken nothing. But it's your word. He said, I'll let down the net. You know, even our exegesis of Scripture doesn't have to be perfect. Because Peter's exegesis of what Jesus said was both faulty and incomplete. He didn't even get to what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, let down your net. Look at verse 4. Jesus didn't tell Peter to let down his net. He said, let down your nets. Plural. For a draught. You're not going to catch two or three in the net. You're going to get a multitude of fish. And so I want you to put down your nets. It's going to take more than one. It's going to take more than one Sunday school bus. Amen. To bring them all in. It's going to take more than one new converts class, amen, to disciple all the converts that God wants to fill with the Holy Ghost. He said, I want you to let down your nets. If you're going to have a revival, you've got to get ready for it. If you expect God to move, amen, you've got to prepare, amen, because God is true to His Word. Amen. They were fixing to have something happen there. Amen. In the area of the miraculous. This wasn't an ordinary fishing excursion. But nevertheless, Peter let down a net. You know, even our failure, amen, to obey completely doesn't prevent God from doing a miraculous work. Even his exegesis of the Scripture wasn't perfect. We sometimes think that people have to be able to dot every I and cross every T and be able to explain, amen, the mysteries of the Godhead in detail in order to receive the blessing of God. Peter didn't even get it. Amen. But God still rewarded him. Amen. Our understanding may be faulty. It may be incomplete. It may fall short of embracing the miraculous. But nevertheless, God rewarded his effort. And the Bible says that when he let down the net, amen, and it began to break. In fact, the net did break. Amen. The Bible says, and their net break. Amen. Even the miraculous fails to remove our need for greater faith. His non-compliance with the command of the Lord resulted in a broken net and lost, amen, lost fish. Fish that could have been saved were lost because of an incomplete response to the commandments of God. We can lose, amen, in spite of the moving of God. In spite of the presence of the miraculous, our net can break. You can have problems. You can have things break down. A breakdown in communication. Amen. If you're not, amen, in complete, amen, step with the Spirit of God, their net broke and they begin to cry out for help. But the good thing is, even when we fail, amen, we can turn to a brother or a sister, amen, to come to our rescue. Thank God for those, amen, who are brothers and sisters in Christ that we can turn to. Peter's net broke. He felt like a failure. Amen. The Lord warned him that he was going to have a drought. But he didn't really believe it. Amen. If it was just more or less out of courtesy. Amen. That Peter complied in letting down one net. When the Lord told him to let down his nets, plural. But when he cried out for help, amen, James and John, amen, came a run into the rescue, and they cast the nets over, and the Bible says that their nets were filled, and they filled both of the ships until both of the ships began to sink. It wasn't just the nets, amen, that was inadequate. Their ships weren't even adequate to hold the multitude of fishes. I want you to know God is able to give our church a revival. Amen. That we cannot even hold them. This building won't be big enough. Amen. Our Sunday school classes will be inadequate. We won't be prepared. But nevertheless, the Spirit of God will move when we get hungry for a move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So James and John helped them. And both of the ships began to sink. And when Peter saw the result, amen, when he saw what had happened, and you know what happened? It wasn't because that Peter and Andrew and James and John were such good fishermen. Amen, you don't have to be the best Bible teacher. You don't have to be an accomplished musician. You don't have to sing with the voice of the archangels. I don't even know if they can sing or not. You don't have to preach, amen, like Apollos preached. Amen. According to the Bible, he must have been a pretty good preacher. You don't have to preach like that. Amen. You can even be a Paul. They said his speech was contemptible. Amen. You don't even have to speak the King's English plainly. But if you will preach the Word of God, if you'll preach, amen, the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen, God will perform miracles. He confirmed, amen, the Word with signs following. Hallelujah. Peter fell down at the knees of Jesus and he confessed, "Lord, I am a sinful man." Yeah. Amen. God, amen, performed a miracle. Amen. Even though Peter acknowledged that he was a sinner. "Lord, I'm not even worthy, amen, for you to be in my boat. Lord, I'm ashamed because I just let down one net and it broke." He could have felt like a pitiful failure. Don't you let the devil, amen, tell you that you're a failure. Don't you let the devil tell you, amen, that God can't use you. Peter fell down and confessed his weakness. But in God's power, amen, God told them, amen, "It's not about you. It's about my Word. It's about me. It's not about you. It's about the Word of God." And they were all astonished at the miracle. You know, when God begins to move, the musicians can come back. Amen. I'm going to try to wind down. Amen. As they were stood there astonished at what they had seen, Amen. That they had seen a miracle of such proportion, because they had fished all night long and they had caught nothing. I mean, they had went from nothing to having such a multitude of fish that both the ships began to sink. Now that's revival. Yes. Praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. They were scared to death. I want you to know that when God begins to move, there's a lot of people, amen, begin to draw back in fear and amazement. Amen. I don't know about you, but I believe in the power of the supernatural. I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe in angels. I believe in miracles. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. Jesus said, fear not. Don't be afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. No, don't be afraid of miracles. Don't be afraid of gifts of healing. Don't be afraid of the Spirit. Amen. The word of wisdom or the word of knowledge. Don't be afraid of the discernment of spirits. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Don't be afraid of prophecy. Don't be afraid of the things of God. Amen. We live in the realm of a supernatural God. Our God is a living God. Our God, amen, is able to give life, to bring order out of disorder. Don't be afraid of God. Don't be afraid of the move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What you've seen, the Lord said, amen, is just a prelude to what's ahead. Don't be afraid, because I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're not going to go out and search a fish, but you're going to go out in search of men. And the Bible says that they forsook all and followed Him. Amen. If you believe in the power of the Word of God, if you believe that God's able to do what He said He would do, you need to be willing to forsake everything and follow Jesus. You need to forget about your weaknesses. You need to forget about your lack or the limitations that you have, because with God nothing is impossible. With God all things are possible. Amen. He can heal cancer. He can heal heart trouble. Amen. He can heal brainwave disorders. He can heal diabetes. He can heal cancer. He can heal the lame. He can heal the blind. He can heal the deaf. He can heal the brokenhearted. He can deliver from alcohol. He can deliver from drugs. He can deliver from narcotics. He can deliver from cigarettes. My God can do anything tonight by the power of His Word. By the power of His Word. Would you stand tonight? Lift your hands to the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's worship the Lord together.